This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. My name is William English, and today I shall be playing various recordings, including London's Last Trams, recorded in 1951. And that was apparently in 1946, London Transport announced the resumption of its tram scrapping program. And this was carried out in eight stages, starting in September 1950. In preparation for this, a large site was acquired at Penhall Road, Charlton, in southeast London, and laid out with a number of parallel tracks on which the displaced trams were stored as they came out of service. After stripping them of all useful parts, the bodies were burned, as they put it on the sleeve notes. Quite a dramatic description of trams. The bodies were burned. Anyway, so this documentary has been compiled from on-the-spot recordings made at each stage of the conversion scheme. And at the time, it says, in use, the equipment for the recording created great interest. Very few people had heard of a tape recorder. Still fewer had actually seen one in operation, and inevitably a small crowd collected whenever it was set up. And the recordings were made from original tapes taken in 1950, 1951 and 1952 using the above equipment. It is believed that they are the earliest made using completely portable tape recording gear, at least as far as the amateur was concerned. So that's a bit later on. Then there will be a couple of tracks from Scream, Deconceptual Voicings, by artists including Sol LeWitt and Lawrence Vena. First of all, I thought I'd delve into something called green music. In my temporary role as a bookseller, in fact, yesterday, I had an order for a rare catalogue from the Whitechapel Gallery 1975, which refers to someone called John Lifton, who created something called green music in the Experimental Gallery in 1975. And there's an intriguing image of two huge speakers and sort of what must be a fairly early computer system with six plants arranged in front of them. And the statement, I can't read through the whole catalogue, it would take far too long, but skipping through it, introduction by John Lifton. Plants, like animals, are complex life forms capable not only of taking from the world the sustenance needed for survival, but also adjusting to both the cycles and vagaries of nature by perceiving them and behaving accordingly. This is not to imply that plants have intelligence, but to point out that the way in which they appear to be either buffeted or nurtured at the whim of nature is misleading, because the electrochemical messages which control plants' behaviour travel more than 1,000 times slower than those in our nervous system. So that with a few exceptions, such as fly-catching plants, sensitive plants, or telegraph plants, which move visibly, the behaviour of plants is not perceivable. In green music, this inner activity of plants is made manifest as sound by directly measuring the very small electrical currents within a group of plants and electronically producing a musical analogy. The sound is not the actual electrical activity of the plants, which would not be audible even if amplified, but is generated electronically under the control of the plants. And brief biography, John Lifton, 1968, built first major cybernetic artwork for Cybernetic Serendipity exhibition at the ICA. Became a registered architect, gave up architecture, became involved in the newly formed Computer Art Society, so on and so on. 1970, used inflatable sculptures at pop concerts. Happenings began the work with plants that led to green music. And then 1971, he was a guest lecturer at Leicester Art School for 3 months. I mean, this jumps out of the text for me, but anyway. Anna Lockwood, Harvey Mattisau, Howard Rees, etc. 1973, completed first version of green music and then lectured at Watford College of Art. Anyway, there is a brief snatch of John Lifton's green music from a little video on YouTube. You can find it under John Lifton's Green Music on YouTube. I think about 270 people have looked at it since it was put up there. But we can play a bit now. Strangely, although it only lasts about 3 minutes, it seems to sort of repeat itself halfway through. Anyway, this is an introduction to John Lifton.
Bring about a harmonious interaction between human beings and the plant kingdom, artist John Lifton devised what he calls green music. Plants have been wired into a complex computer. Their change of mood as they react to the crowds of visitors will be converted into musical expression. As the people move among the plants, the sounds they hear are the plants reacting to their presence. An ephemeral exchange of energy, linking two diverse life forms, becomes a symphony of emotions. Plants have been wired into a complex computer. Their change of mood as they react to the crowds of visitors will be converted into musical expression. Artist John Lifton devised what he calls green music.
It's at this point that the video seems to repeat itself for some reason. Perhaps there isn't very much about John Lifton.
In the belief that a tangible expression of plant emotions would bring about a harmonious interaction between human beings, people move among the plants. The sounds they hear are the plants reacting to their presence. An ephemeral exchange of energy, linking two diverse life forms, becomes a symphony of emotions.
Now look at the fur. What I wanted to do was, instead of an art of form, an art of content, had the idea to make a system. The first system was a form within a form. Then the idea to make it all of the possible combinations, which made it into a finite system. Art and series, art as an idea of movement and of content. The idea of a serial progression. What I wanted to do was, instead of an art of form, an art of content, had the idea to make a system. The first system was a form within a form. Then the idea to make it all of the possible combinations, which made it into a finite system. Art and series, art as an idea of movement and of content. The idea of a serial progression.
Here comes the last tram. This phrase is well known not only to London tramway enthusiasts, but to anyone who has turned out around midnight to say goodbye to their trams. In London, the conversion from trams to buses commenced in September 1950, and by this time the scrapyard at Charlton was ready to receive the first of the cars for burning. Here is number 1384. An early arrival on its last journey. To serve the sidings at the yard, a special traverser was installed. This being a mobile platform for one tram, which could be moved sideways to line up with any particular track, a method used in most of the former London County Council depots. Here is the traverser at work. The first stage of the conversion scheme saw the end of tramways in Wandsworth and Battersea, involving the withdrawal of one all-night and five daytime routes. The relatively small group of onlookers at Wandsworth Depot was but a foretaste of the enormous crowds to come as the conversions got underway. But here is how they said farewell to the last 31. Things were somewhat better organised for stage two on January 7th, 1951, and it was the turn of Wimbledon, Tooting, Balham and Clapham to lose their trams. The story starts at Merton, at the place where the cars changed their method of current collection from a centre slot between the rails to the more conventional overhead wire.
And now here's 1847 at the plough change at Merton. The inspector's just having a pint of beer. You can hear the crowds of people and cars passing by. Photographs are being taken, and the plough fork is being dragged away for the last time. And now the lights of the car are out, and she's just going on to the Condette. few seconds now, I'm sure she will be off back to Clapham Depot. This is certainly a historic occasion on this very historic section of track where once the London United Tramways met the LCC Tramways, and now the scene of the last car, the last electric car along this particular road. Tomorrow morning, of course, this road will be served by buses. Still delaying. Oh, the driver's having a chat with inspectors. More beer is being produced. And soon she'll be on her way.
It was almost midnight at Tooting, and the last service car came into view.
And here's the unofficial last car, number 1824. It's being pushed. It's not under its own power. It's being manhandled as far as I can see. I can see it now. It's coming along, all lights out except the cleaners' lights. And it's being actually pushed by some of the enormous crowd who are here tonight to see the official last car, which will be along in a few minutes. The conductress is on the platform. No, I don't think she's giving away any tickets. Oh, the conductor's giving away bits and pieces of the tram as far as I can see. People on the back. No, no, it's not being pushed now. It seems to be under power. He's got no lights. He's just got his fore and the rear lights on, and now it's gradually disappearing. And now here comes the special.
This special tram, number 1829, was hired by the Balham Chamber of Commerce and was assisted by white horses. This was the very last tram of all in Tooting and Balham.
Here she comes. On the side, the words, "The last tram to and from the Odeon Balham, 50 years glorious service, Balham and District Chamber of Commerce." Great procession of people, three torches, and a terrific crowd of people running after it. And a great surge from the Broadway. Absolutely, one mass of people running, walking, one torchbearer left right behind there.
Outside the Odeon Cinema, Balham, short speeches were made by the Mayor of Wandsworth, Councillor Edgeley, and a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
Right. Sure. Right, people of Wandsworth, driving the last tram has been a wonderful experience. And we very nearly overran the horses and the people pulling on the ropes. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm very pleased to see the last of the trams here, and we'll have trolley buses instead. Thank you all for turning out. I wish you all a happy new year. Thank you. Now, the Chamber of Commerce, come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to thank you all for turning out tonight to support the last tram in the Chamber of Commerce. All those who've walked in the procession and helped us, particularly the Scouts, and the Mayor and Mayoress of Wandsworth for coming to drive the last tram on this historic occasion. Thank you all very much indeed.
Now the 1829 is moving off. Right. Conductor waving. There's only one or two lamps left in the tram. All the rest have been taken as souvenirs.
On April 7th, 1951, thousands in Streatham and Croydon stayed up to give a send-off to the last of their trams. This was stage three. It started with a fanfare.
Here we are at the Astoria Streatham with searchlights shining full upon the last tram. All the advertisements are covered by giant posters and chalk is painted all over the windows. The big advertisement says, "Streatham Ratepayers Association say farewell to the last tram." There was a terrific crowd here, flashlights going. Hooters, balloons, streamers, flags. Terrific crowd. The fire brigade have turned out in ceremony.
Here
mass of torn up paper is streaming down now from the upper windows above W.H. Smith's. Streatham High Road now is absolutely packed solid with people. Traffic is at a standstill. I've just seen that the car is number 947. Number 947, the last car. And now I can see three flags being moved down the pavement. I can't see the people carrying them towards the tram. From the front steps of the Astoria, down along the pavement now, nearing the tram.
The Streatham Ratepayers Association, who had sponsored this ceremonial tram, then called upon the Deputy Mayor of Wandsworth, Alderman Carr, to lead the singing of Auld Lang Syne, resulting in a mixture of tempos and keys.
When I drive off this car...
It's the changing of an the to a I'm very involved in trying to objectify desire. How can you objectify desire? And what does that constitute? In a non-romantic manner. Objectify desire. In a non-romantic manner. Objectify desire. It's the changing of a the to a. And how to take the universal and turn the universal into a specific. Which in fact is ambiance.
Language of art is material.
Objectify desire. Objectify desire. It's the changing of the status of the plinth. If I make a mistake, I make a mistake. And remember, I'm not a doctor writing a script. I'm not a pilot with people dependent upon my life. To control themselves, I decided not to explain. Objectify desire. In a non-romantic manner. Objectify desire. In a non-romantic manner. But to speak about the authenticity is making a sales pitch. To play the artist is again trying to set up some sort of position that people can read. I accept this. And as most things, it might be complicated to begin with, but it's pretty simple in the end.
You are listening to Resonance FM. Or 4.4 London. Resonance FM, London's first radio art station.
gender really enters in the 80s. Yeah, gender and race issues. My work has gone from dance to film, back to dance to gallery installation. Certainly not a single aim. I'm still involved in both using and subverting and utilizing conventions of narrative cinema. More and more, my films took stronger political positions in relation to current topical issues. My goal is to reactivate the spectator's critical faculties. I'm always assessing whether I'm pushing you away or drawing you in, pushing you away, drawing you in.
Discover the Curtain Up Show's Secret Star at Sing Easy London on Wednesday, February the 26th, a fundraiser for Resonance FM. Six disguised celebrities and West End stars sing live, but can you identify the voice? Join Tim and Nathan on an evening like no other. Test your West End musical detective skills and benefit Resonance FM. Visit fundraiser.resonance.fm for details.
In October 1951, London Transport put Stage 5 into operation, closing down routes in the Dulwich area. First of all, the last 58 tram from Blackwall Tunnel.
It is just after 11:20, and this car is due off on its last journey to Kemble Green Depot. The car number is 145, and the inspector is just looking at his watch, and any second now, she'll be off over this section of track for the last time. And now she's off, driven by driver Archer. And that was the last 58 from Blackwall Tunnel.
An interesting feature of London's tramways was the four-track arrangement on the steeply graded Dog Kennel Hill at Dulwich. Following a serious accident many years ago, no two cars were permitted to occupy the same track on this section. Car number 1893 was the last to descend.
Car number 1893 pulling on a lovely piece of magnetic braking, just pulling up at the bottom of the hill. Tomorrow this road, of course, will be served by buses, and there she goes underneath the railway bridge, the last car to descend Dog Kennel Hill.
Camberwell Depot was closed to trams that night. And among the cars leaving was yet another hired by a group of enthusiasts.
Here's another car just leaving the depot, showing Camberwell Green number 35, number 1931. Brilliantly painted, number 1931 with the high back seats on the lower deck. And a Camberwell, here is the special number 120, just emerging from the depot.
Victoria was left tramless at stage 6 when its remaining routes were replaced by buses.
And here comes the last 54 to leave Victoria. Here she comes past us now with the words goodbye all chalked on the dash. One 920 showing New Cross Gate on the 54s.
Route 48 from Southwark Bridge to West Norwood was also a victim. But at the plough change at Cold Harbour Lane, Camberwell, there was hardly a soul to witness the sequence of operations being carried out for the last time.
1996, the last 48 tram car, having just shot its plough at Cold Harbour Lane, is now leaving on its last trip to West Norwood. In the other direction, car number 170 on its way to New Cross passes and is just about to take up its plough. The trolley is being pulled down now and the plough pit attendant is setting his fork into the plough carrier. Right, and the car slowly moves off as the plough is inserted. And now on its way to New Cross Depot.
The Kingsway tram subway was closed at stage 7 in April 1952. This subway connected Victoria Embankment with Southampton Row. The first section opened in 1906 for single-deckers, and it was enlarged throughout for double-deck operation in 1931. It provided the only link between the northern and southern systems in central London. At Aldwych Station, one of two in the subway, it was nearly midnight when one of the last southbound cars passed through. Then, at 12:25 a.m...
Here comes the last northbound 35 car through the subway, arriving at Aldwych Station, car number 185. Packed at capacity, and quite a large crowd on the platform seeing it off.
As on previous occasions, London Transport officials were joined by local civic dignitaries, and shortly before the last tram was driven through, the Mayor of Holborn, Councillor Lynn Cooper, had this to say.
It's been a very great privilege to drive the last tram through the Kingsway subway. I remember well the first one that went through about 45 years ago, and I feel that this marks another phase in the traffic problems of London. The trams have served a very useful purpose, but of course they've come to the stage of obsolescence like we all do. And we can only hope that the new means of transport provided in place will give adequate, adequate service to the public, as in the past.
Ever faithful, a sizeable group of Londoners waited patiently at the northern end, where the track rose to street level by way of a 1-in-10 gradient. And at 2:15...
Thank you.
Now back at New Cross, we've just seen the most fantastic sight. People leaping on top of the last tram, the last special car, standing on the roof, pulling the seatings and the linings to pieces. And now the car is just about to enter New Cross Depot to reverse and to come out for Penhall Road.
So London said farewell to its tramways. Electric vehicles running on rails laid in the roads. A method of transport which may now seem strange to those too young to remember the events of July 5th, 1952.
To Resonance One. This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.